you have this quality about you that I think that Ginsberg described as surprise mind. Bohemian, all of a sudden there's patterns in airport carpet. It's like, where the fuck did that come from? And it's so beautiful to get that. And it's like, can you teach that surprise mind? Is it possible, or you just have it or you don't?
Well, maybe yes and no. I mean, maybe like a capacity, like I just saw a hummingbird out there, and I think they do see different colors and so on. So there, maybe some people do sort of have a different range of perception that they're tapped into, just like I am not particularly logical when it comes to making mathematical theory. But I do have a metaphor making capacity. I think children have it a lot, and then it gets trained out of us, you know. But because it's embarrassing, and you know, you can't be always doing that.
This professor is having us interview bugs in the hall. Is she nuts or what? I can just imagine.
And my classes are popular because they get to do stuff like interview bugs. But also because I remind them that when they were children, they were magical. And then they got it trained out of them in about sixth grade. And with airport carpet, things like that just, they bubble up in my brain. I they just like rise. Like something will just like come up in the brain, and it, I don't know where it comes from, but it just is there. And so anyway, that airport carpet, I have no idea, but except that you know what, how when your life is just so tedious and it, you just feel like it's you've forgotten to pay attention how unusual everything is, it just seems like a deadening pattern, and you know, we all fall into it. And we can get out of it by paying attention again. But sometimes it just, we've lost interest because the pattern has deadened us. And we've gotten deadened to the pattern rather than the exception. So, you know, like when you're in the airport and you know how hideous it is, the carpet. Mm-hmm. And they choose it because it supposedly will put you to sleep, you know.
They could have poetry readings.
They could have poetry readings.
People would be snoring all over the place when they're not interviewing bugs.
Exactly.
There's a line, another one of those lines. The first void is God waiting. That continues, of course. Then a couple of pings. It sounds like the back of the universe is getting acupuncture.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, acupuncture doesn't have a sound. No. He doesn't go. I mean, if you do it right. Well, I remember one time when he didn't do it right, he got a nerve and it had quite a sound there, and I don't think it's the sound you were going for.
No, but doesn't, it's a sort of synesthesia. Don't certain feelings on your skin have a sound? To me, they do. Like it just crosses over. It crosses over a little bit. Like it's so lively that it occurs in your ear too. I mean, it certainly happens to me. But
it's definitely a ping.
That's a ping, isn't it? Yeah. So these local, and that one is in West Marin, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's a very, very specific moment. So some of these seasonal moments are very specific. That's a very specific moment. When we're out in West Marin, when spikenard has appeared and the Perseids are happening.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
So I was just trying to track, like, pretty much every 2 weeks, one of these poems is sort of every 2 weeks. So that moment was so remarkable to me because it's sort of the end of summer and everything seems to be exhausted, but then things are happening all over again. And
we were just talking about that before we started the interview. It's like, you know, summer's over, you got to go back to school.
Yeah.
And it's like, what just happened?
Yeah, exactly.
It seems like August is the busiest month of all
yeah,
of them.
I know.
And our schedules, if we looked at it, we don't work. I mean, in your case,
yeah.
No, there's no work in the traditional sense. And
yeah,
what have you, so.
But it's just, there's just so much and it's piling on. And so it's those moments of making sure that you're always paying attention.
I'd like to leave with just, you don't have to read a poem, but I'd love for you to respond. And I'm looking, well, there's a couple of things now. One of them is there's a reference to the ancestors.
Mm.
And I forget, I have it in my notes, but they're they're maybe not as good as they can. How the ancestors don't crowd us, page 25, there mm-hmm. it is. Yeah. And I can look back to that and see the specific reference.
Yeah. They become the kind wind to let us pass through.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So one of the feelings I have a lot, I don't know if everybody has this feeling, but it's a sense or it's a sensation that like your dead people are around you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, do you have that feeling that like you're surrounded by your dead or that they're always listening?
I've had experiences where people told me they're right behind you now.
Yeah.
And I believe them when they say that.
Yeah, I believe them too.
And you know, my grandmother was an espiritista in Cuba, so I would be inclined, if I, you know, have love for her, I would be inclined that there is at least some validity to it.
Wow, that's amazing. We were just in Cuba. Yeah, it's such a great country too, mm-hmm. you know, so full of spiritual presences.
Mm-hmm.
But just that sense that you always have, and that you have to tune them out, that you're always tapped into them, you know, mm-hmm. at some level.
Mm-hmm.
This very, very great sense that you've been informed and brought here by a number of other people and other humans and other entities that have given you so much. And that whole spiritual sense doesn't just vanish. It's always with us, and we're always populated like that. But at a certain point, I think right before I started working on this, maybe at the end of Practical Water, I had been working on a long poem about California water systems, and I was thinking all the time about like asking my people and my spirit world to just stay, come in a little closer. You know, don't be so unavailable. And they, you know, the sense that the circle or the oval is kind of surrounding you, but they don't squeeze in. And they just are porous enough so that we can go through. And I wrote this, actually I worked on this, you mentioned Jack Colum, and we were talking about him, but Leslie Scalapino was close to Jack, and I think I started this poem at Naropa because I had been thinking just about this very moment and about her death too.
Yeah. How close were you to her?
Not very close. I certainly, you know, I think we had a lot of respect for each other. Really admired her brave ways of writing, and you know, had lots of interest in what she was up to. I really felt like she was really cool, and she just really had a lot of interest in the phrase, you know, in a way. I was much closer to Barbara Guest, who also had that same interest in like the phrase, mm-hmm. and how much vast work you throw these phrases into the void, and they can just like have this whole life that blooms around them. Mm-hmm. So she had the phrasal power. Yeah. But she left us way too young, of course.
I can't tell you how honored I am to be able to have this experience with you. I'm very, very grateful for this. And I look forward to your next book. And hopefully we don't have to wait 5 years after it's released to have an interview and discussion about it.
Thank you so much. And thank you for your amazing work and for all the work you do in your communities. I mean, it's really cool. And I'm thrilled to be an honorary Cascadian. Though I'm a little too far south officially,
That's just a matter of time.
I know it is, and so we're inching it up there. We're pushing. So anyway, great many thanks and blessings and love to your listeners.